The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day with The Way It Ought to Be program. Satan is in the business of destruction. He has enticed man to do much of the same. Satan's mindset and attitude is to destroy what God stands for. He doesn't want anyone to have it better than himself, and he certainly knows his fate. As Genesis chapter 3 tells us that Adam and Eve were thrust out of the garden after they disobeyed God, they had been living in the garden long enough to realize that it was a much better place than outside, at least once they were thrust out. But they had to experiment to find out for themselves. No doubt they blamed one another for their tough way of life outside of the garden, which pictured being in Satan's presence or in his world. When they were obeying God, things went well for them until they were thrust out of the garden. Then cutting themselves off from God by disobeying him and by obeying Satan the devil, life wasn't as easy and pleasant as before. The happiness, the joy, the peace wasn't the same, and that caused friction in the family. So they blamed each other, and problems picked up momentum. More problems in the family arose. Cain killed his brother Abel. Now this is to say nothing about the bickering, the biting, the fighting, and the placing of blame between Adam and Eve, plus everyday life problems that came unexpectedly. Now that would make you think that Satan knew what he was doing when he attacked the family in the garden. At least he wanted those results, and that's what we see today. And it has been passed on to nations. Yes, it was Satan's lifestyle of bitterness, selfishness, lust, greed, hatred, jealousy, vanity, pride, me-first attitude, wasting, blaming, passing the buck, shirking responsibility, resentment to authority, and so on. All these evils he intended to pass on to the first human family and to give everyone his mindset, his attitude, and his character. He wasted no time in deceiving Eve, and it seems Adam wasted no time going along with her deception and disobedience. This was when marital and family problems began, and they have grown worse with time. Instead of cooperation between the husband and wife, much too often it's opposition that causes troubles in the family, in the marriage, which has spilled over into the communities, the churches, the nations. That's exactly what Satan wanted and had on his mind when he had access to Adam and Eve. So by listening to Satan and being deceived by him, we have turned our back on God and his word and his laws. We don't know how to solve our problems, including marital problems, family, child-rearing problems, which has to be a root cause of many other problems. Jesus Christ tells us how to have a happy marriage, happy families, and happy nation, and a happy world, if we would only listen. Notice in Genesis 2, beginning in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." This was the one that became Jesus Christ that spoke these words. And Christ said, "I will make him," that is, man, "I will make man a helper, someone to back and to support the man, not to be opposing the man or trying to run everything or to belittle the man." That would be a big hindrance in the marriage, and God knew that. That's why he said, "I will make man a helper." He didn't say, "I will make him a boss." Going on here in Genesis 2, verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Now God didn't have to take a rib from Adam to create a woman. He could have done that from the dust of the earth, just as he did Adam. But God wanted man to understand that a wife is a part of her husband, and that a man is to love and cherish and care for his wife just like his own flesh. The New Testament tells us this as well, which we will bring out in this series of programs on marriage. That should tell man how to treat his wife. This was Jesus Christ that did this and spoke these words and inspired them to be recorded and preserved for our learning. Now if a man before he took a wife understood that he was taking to himself a part of himself, and would treat his wife as himself, always loving her, showing that love, realizing she is the weaker vessel, especially emotionally, and comforting her instead of criticizing her, he would be laying the groundwork or the foundation for a good, happy marriage and a good, happy family. But this important knowledge is missing from our education today, and we see the result. We have listened to the wrong educator, Satan the devil. Therefore, we care too much for self and not enough for our wife, or others for that matter. So much too often, a wife feels unloved, unprotected, unappreciated, and perhaps even unwelcome at times by her husband. Now listen to this, my friends. Much too often, a wife feels unloved, unprotected, unappreciated, and perhaps even unwelcome at times by her husband. And a man feels unrespected. Listen to this, my friends. A man feels unrespected by his wife much too often. So it goes and keeps going until one or the other comes to the point that they don't think they can handle that kind of life any longer. So the end result is living as strangers in the same house, or separation or divorce. Now, had we been educated about the importance of marriage, the beauty of it, and that it is a God-ordained and God-plain relationship, and had been taught the importance of fidelity as well as the importance of proper child-rearing, and had the right example been set in your home as a kid, we would see a much different world. But as it is, we see divorce as a common thing, a way of escape, at least we think so, or just live in so you won't have to go through the hassle of divorce. Do we ever stop and think what God says about marriage and divorce? Now, if you are old enough to be married or living in, or to be thinking about marriage or just living in, then you are old enough that you should want to know what God has to say about divorce and marriage and how to have a happy marriage. Notice what God has to say in Malachi 2, beginning in verse 10. And this is up to date, my friend. It is for our day today as well. Malachi 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Now, God is speaking about marriage that was going sour, that had been going sour, beginning in the Garden of Eden. Verse 11 continues, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination hath been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the Lord's holy institution which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. Now notice what God says in verse 11, what God is actually telling us. God calls marriage a holy institution, and indeed it is, because it was ordained by God the Father and Jesus Christ in the Garden of Eden, and Satan has been trying to destroy that holy union to this day. Verse 11 is also telling us that God's people had been marrying women of foreign nations, which were pagan worshipers of false gods, of pagan gods. God had told Israel not to do that, for they would turn their heart away from following the true God. And notice verse 12. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, or it means teacher or student doing this, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. Verse 12 is telling us that God doesn't take lightly the profaning of his holy institution of marriage. Yet God said, you claim to be a Christian and expect God to hear your prayers and bless you. God is mainly speaking to the priest or the ministers, but it applies to everyone in regard to the holy institution of marriage. Continuing here in verse 13, he says, and this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with good will from your hands. So God is telling us in verse 13, or we should say Jesus Christ says he won't hear or listen to our prayers if we profane the marital covenant. Then we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. The New Testament tells us that God doesn't hear sinners as well. And notice verse 14. Yet you say, for what reason And we ask and we wonder, why doesn't God hear and answer our prayers? And God is giving us one reason here. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. God is telling us, Judah and ancient Israel, and he's saying the same to our nation today, that we are an adulterous nation, that we aren't true to that holy institution of being loyal and faithful to our wife. Neither is a wife in many cases true and loyal and faithful to their husband, to their I do's. God tells us that one reason, and it could very well be one of the main reasons that he doesn't answer our prayers, is that we deal treacherously with the wife of our youth, meaning your first wife, which is to be your wife till death, do you part. You are to live up to the holy institution, to your I do, in the wedding ceremony, man and woman both. God says, I know what's going on in your marriage. Notice what Christ inspired Peter to write in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. And this is in the New Testament, my friends, and the New Testament has much to say about how to treat your wife, how to treat your husband, how to have a happy marriage, and how to rear and train your kids, and we will get into that in a later program. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says this, likewise, you husband, dwell with them, speaking about your wife, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, that is, weaker emotionally, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That should give us a good clue as to why that our prayers aren't answered. And as I said, that could very well be one of the main reasons, is because we don't live up to that holy institution, that God-ordained institution of marriage, nearly as we should. Christ is telling us that your prayers just may not reach to the ears of God if you both aren't struggling to build a good, happy marriage and a good, happy family. This should give us more of an idea as to how important this holy institution is to God and Christ. We will pick this topic up in our next program. Keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program. If you are having marital problems, then you should request our free articles. And they are free. There's no follow-up. No one will ask you for any money. No one will call you. No one will visit you. You won't hear from us again unless you request it. But request our free articles, Marriage, Just a Piece of Paper, and Spend a Lifetime Together, and the article, Edge of Divorce. You need those articles, my friend. They may save your marriage. Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or go online, log on to our website, www.thewayitoughttobe.org. You can order online, you can also download and hear pre-recorded programs online. But call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, 573-238-3675, and request your free articles, Marriage, Just a Piece of Paper, and Spend a Lifetime Together, and the article, Edge of Divorce. Or just ask for Articles 210. We will know what you mean if you forget the name of those articles. Just ask for the Articles 210. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to these very important topics on the Way It Ought to Be program. Have a good day, my friend, and may God help you understand and live by His Word.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.